From blending the rich traditions of Indian music with modern sounds to earning a Grammy nomination with Berklee Indian Ensemble, Shashank Navalady is a composer, producer and a sound designer pushing musical boundaries. Welcome to the podcast, Shashank.
Thanks, Akriti. Happy to be here.
Yes. And I think ever since I've known you, you've always been a part of the limelight. So what has that been like?
Before we start, just want to say, since we are childhood friends, this is going to be a very hard podcast to do with a straight face. So please bear with us while we laugh through all the question and answers.
What has it been like to been in the limelight all your life? Because you started playing sarod at the age of 5, I think.
I started when I was 6. Limelight would be a sort of a relative term, I think. But yeah, I was pushed into music at a very early age because both my parents love music. And then when my brother was playing the tabla, they decided that, okay, we can't have two drummers in the house. So one had to be like a melodic instrumentalist. Yeah. So I've been playing since then. But honestly, I've enjoyed every part of it. Yeah. So since childhood, I've been learning sarod, tabla. I used to go for 2 vocal classes, one of which that we
yes,
used to go
we
to
went
as
together.
Well. 2 vocal classes, and at one point it was also drums and keys.
That's so a lot of instruments.
That is, yeah. So all of my sort of childhood was just spent going for music classes. But
doesn't that take a bit of your childhood away?
I mean, so I did. I mean, it was a bit of pressure, maybe in like 11th grade and 12th grade when I took, you know, science and stuff. But honestly, I think music is the best thing, you know, to have happened. I think I was able to find a good balance between music and studies and, you know, playing cricket, you know,
yes.
after coming back from school.
Absolutely.
So,
and attending all our birthday parties.
And yeah, exactly. I think I found that sort of sweet spot. Yeah. It was a very busy childhood, I think.
Yeah.
I would say that, like, compared
yeah.
to...
Yeah, I know,
because
I think I've been
thing.
A part of it as well, especially
yeah.
when we had the Pogo segment. Pogo
Correct.
Was so popular, and then they came to do a story on you. And I think that's the first recollection that I have
yes.
of you being in the limelight, which was, I don't know, 20 years ago, I guess. Almost.
Correct. I know. Yeah, those were, yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, almost 20 years back. Yeah, but it was a very, very fulfilling, I think. I think music is, it's such a good, it's such an important aspect, you know, of an individual's life. And I think I'm very happy that my parents put me in, like, formal music lessons. And that sort of shaped, you know, my early childhood and my career as well, you know. So, yeah.
So, when it comes to, like, going beyond the border, I think you fit all categories that I have, which is, like, geographically and socioeconomically as well. I mean, what has that been like? Like, when did you think that you want to do that? Because, I mean, even if you were here in India, you would have made a difference because you're talented. But you have actually worked in both the industries.
Right.
And you know, like, the pros and cons. You've kind of got a glimpse of all of that. So when was the first time that you felt like you want to go beyond the border? And also, when is the first time that you felt like you finally have made it beyond the border?
Like, I want to go beyond the border, geographically speaking, is after I finished college. Because after finishing college, I had the option to either, you know, stay back for a bit or come back. And of course, if you come back, it's Bombay. You have to go to Bombay and, you know, hustle over there. But I had a really good time in college. I think Berklee was is a melting pot of, you know, different cultures and class musicians from, you know, every country on this planet. So I think I had a really good all my fellow, like, classmates and, you know, collaborators were, like, really good people, and I felt very welcomed over there. Also thanks to the Berklee Indian Ensemble, so that was you know, a huge part of my college days. So that's
what got you
that
a
was,
step closer to the Grammy.
Correct, that's right. That's right, yeah. And actually, that didn't happen during college, but we put out an album after, you know, like most of the bandmates had graduated. and that somehow we got nominated. it was a big, pretty big surprise for all of us that day. But coming back to your question, Berkeley felt like, man, I just felt like those were my people, you know, because before that you're doing science, you're going for IIT tuition and, you know, math and engineering, like science classes over here. But when I was, you know, with those folks over there, I knew that, okay, I should probably just stay back here for a bit. And then, you know, baad mein we'll see, you know, if you want to go back. But I've loved collaborating over there. I think that's one of the perks of being in the US is that it's a nation of immigrants. There are people from so many various cultures, diverse backgrounds. So you never feel like, you know, that you're out of home, you know, because everyone's going through that. So I think I had a great time in Boston and LA.
Tell me a little bit about the Grammy, like, story. How was it like to go there?
Dude, it was surreal. It was absolutely surreal. I mean, honestly, so from the time we put out the album, we just wanted to write some good music and we wanted to share original songs. So, and I should definitely mention the band's director, you know, Annette Phillips. She's a great, you know, she's a maverick, you know, she's a pioneer in the field of, you know, music. She's a great, great singer, great, great pianist, trailblazer in every sense of the word. She really encouraged us to, you know, write original songs, and also, you know, do different interesting versions of covers, like Jia Jale, you know, cover, and Ye Chode is that cover. Although these two weren't there on the album, but we have, you know, some other covers. Yeah, it was John Legend who was doing the announcement for our category, which is Best Global Music Album. Yeah, Best Global Music Album. So, and then the show itself was, I think, cherry on the cake. The show is divided into two parts. So, you know, so first you have the top, so you've got the first 20 categories in one show, and then you go to a different auditorium, which is for the top 10, categories. So ours was in the first show because, Best Global Music Album. And then it was a great experience just seeing Anushka Shankar, you know, perform live. We had a lot of other collaborators who were also nominated. So just being in the midst of artistic royalty, you know, it was very humbling that way. And then the main show is, of course, you know, that's where the song and dance happens. And I think Harry Styles won, like, Album of the Year. Album of the Year. But very humbling experience. Yeah. And just, touched with very lucky to be part of that. Troop.
Like I mentioned in your intro also, like, you have to talk about music as a universal language. And we always say that as well. I remember that you were working with Facebook, I think back in 2018,
yes,
as a music composer. And I mean, a lot of your music has been like somewhat Indo-Western, if that's the correct word.
That's right, absolutely. You're absolutely right.
So, I mean, you got the opportunity to do that. And I think you were one of the first few Indians.
Correct.
So clappings for you there. Yeah. Virtual clappings. What was that like? I mean, you getting an opportunity, or did you create that opportunity? Were they asking you just to make like Western or Indian music and you did like the amalgamation? How did it work?
So Facebook gig was really good. The team, like my supervisor over there, he was very appreciative of, you know, all the work that I did. I used to send in, I think, 2 songs a month. And they gave us complete freedom to, you know, make whatever we wish. We had Hindi, Punjabi, Telugu, Tamil, whatever you want to create.
I'm going to link that below. Yeah, for sure, all for your sure. Music that
and
we can hear,
at that time, I didn't, this is a conversation we can have and that we probably will, this being a, you know, podcast. But before the Facebook gig, I didn't know how powerful social media was, you know. Because before then, I was using Facebook,
connection.
Just to stay in touch with friends and everything. But now that, so the gig that I had was that Facebook has a library of songs that anyone can use on Facebook on Instagram Reels, for example, and WhatsApp and stuff like that. So once I started sending them music, you know, people would use it in their Reels and stuff. And then people would comment on the reel, like, you know, who made this song? Where can I download that song? And some of these reels have like millions of, you know, views. So social media, Instagram's reach is like tremendous. Yeah. So I was like, even if you're not composing for Facebook, the company, even if you just learn to promote your art, be, you know, even if you're a musician or like a painter or anyone, if you know how to promote your work on Instagram, dude, that shit can really, you know, become popular. Like, yeah, like social media has a really big reach. Yeah.
But then you had your big break, I think, in 2022, where you ended up performing in States for Beck and Chris Martin.
Yeah, yeah.
So tell us more about that. What was it like? Was there any border problem there? Did you feel like you achieved something, or was it like, I'm just good at my job, so I will be where I need to be, and that has nothing to do with like these, I don't know, passport borders or whatever?
No, actually, that's a great point that you raised. I think, honestly, that's the first time I felt like I've done something truly cross-cultural. So with the Beck concert, like, we had to rearrange. So he was slotted to perform at a gala at a museum in LA. But Beck's request was that his songs be done with him, but with Indian musicians. He wanted like Indian rearrangements of his songs. So that was very interesting because I've never done that. So I've done like Indian songs with Hindi lyrics, Punjabi lyrics, you know, stuff like that. But I haven't put English, like popular English songs in an Indian, you know, context, in an Indian arrangement sort of way. So that was very interesting. That, yeah, very exciting. And he was also very receptive to our, you know, ideas. So it was me, my friend Raginder on the violin, Jawad and Nilan on tabla, and Rajiv on sitar. So us five Indian classical, you know, guys just, you know, sitting behind Beck. But we did rehearse, you know, for 2 days before the concert. And we, yeah, thought of ways to, you know, because so Indian music is not chordal, right? Like it's not polyphonic in the sense that there are no chords.
Yes.
Yeah, we play lines, right? Mm-hmm. Like melodic lines. So we had to somehow find ways to creatively complement, you know, Beck's music. So it was a good gig. And then, yeah, Chris joined us, you know, for one song because he's good friends with Beck and he was visiting LA. And so Beck was like, yeah, dude, I'm performing today. Why don't you come join us for a song? And so he joins us. And then we got to know that he was going to join us like 10 minutes before we got on stage. So
that's,
we were
so
also
exciting,
freaking out.
Like,
yeah.
So much adrenaline rush.
I know. There. Like, we are already nervous, yeah, you know, performing for Beck. And then he's like, yeah, Chris is also going to, like, what is happening?
I think everything you've done or everything we've spoken about is beyond borders, like in all contexts, like as an Indian outside, like sharing the music, making that amalgamation of West and Indo.
Correct. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And but like, what's it been like for you and the entire South Asian community, rather, I would say, in LA? Like, what has that, like, how has that played out for you?
Correct. So I think this is the best time to, I think, be a South Asian in the music industry, personally speaking. That's what I think, because the diaspora community is doing really well. It's on the rise. Of course, we haven't broken the glass ceiling, so as to say. There's still a long way to go before we see it like a global South Asian artist who is as big as, you know, Coldplay or, you know, like Taylor Swift or something like that. Yeah, so that's still, you know, it's a long way, but recently, like, there are so many brown people who have, you know, made a mark in the American music scene. But brown power is on the rise, I think, you know. We've got so many good artists and producers now based in LA who are producing for, like, big, you know, A-list artists. And also, like, people like Raja Kumari, I think she's from Cali. I mean, she's Indian, but I think born and raised there. A lot of my other friends, Zoya Mohan and so many people, who of Indian origin, are making a mark, and so many, and touring and finding ways to, spread their music. So I think it's truly the best time to be in the music industry right now. And even the indie music scene in India is like is blowing up.
So now tell me, what is the new music that you are planning to launch this year?
Oh, okay. So a recent collaboration of mine was with a singer from across the border. His name is Ali Sethi. He's a great singer. He learned,
We know that.
yeah, yeah, great person, great singer, very knowledgeable in Hindustani, music. Yeah, so we collaborated last year when we met in LA, and we were just jamming. I was called in for a session as a sarod player, actually. And then I was on the sarod, and we started jamming, just playing some ideas. And then I slowly just moved to the piano because there was a beautiful, vintage upright in the studio. And then Ali heard that, and then we just, started, playing around with some ideas. So three of those ideas, we worked on a bunch of ideas, like around five, six, I think, songs. But three of those are going to be out this year.
One is already out.
Yeah, so one is already out. It's called Tera Sitam. It just came out. It's on all streaming platforms. So guys, please go and check it
Listen,
out.
listen, listen, yeah.
And then two other songs are going to be out.
Super
I don't know if
excited.
I can reveal the names,
Yeah, okay.
but
We'll get there
we'll yeah, I'll be
soon.
mysterious about that.
You've seen that there are a lot of pros and cons in both the industries, of course. And we have like this general notion that we all want to run out of India. Of course, me living abroad for almost 8 years, you for over a decade, we know that that's not true. Like there's nothing great that they have to offer that we cannot do here.
Correct.
But still, I feel like there are these changes that have come up over these years, which is why we come back like 4 times a year and like enjoy all our privileges and everything.
Blink it, blink it.
Please, let's not talk about how obsessed I am with
Yeah,
blinking.
exactly.
Like,
5 minute delivery, guys. Like
the
that, like,
first thing I
where
messaged my
does
brother in the
that
morning, I'm like, Blinkit is 24/7. And he's
happen?
like, I just Zomatoed in UK. And that's the conversation that goes on in our family group.
Exactly.
Okay.
Like,
So, yeah.
yeah.
But I mean, like, we see that you, as someone who's experienced both and now are very well known globally, I mean, the first question is, would you like to make any changes that in the Indian music industry? Because you're already now working as a teacher for a 3-month diploma program at AAFT. And is that like, what is the change that you would like to see or are aiming towards for the Indian film industry?
I would love to see a bunch of changes, honestly. So I think India is on the right track. See, with the teaching experience, the teaching experience has given me something very invaluable, which is I've been talking to so many youngsters from across the country, people from small towns that I had no idea that people even know about music production and the different software that, So I had one student, he was from Dhanbad. Dhanbad is known for, like, I think it's a milling, like there are a lot of mills and stuff, and a lot of factories and stuff like that. So, but this guy was crazy about, production. He knew everything about Cubase and recording and this and that. So, and I've had so many students from across the country. So music production has definitely is something that's known and something that people are interested in. High schoolers are taking a 3-month diploma course in music production in spite of taking science as their, like this was not, this thing wasn't happening during our time, I think, so that is great. I'm so happy that people know about this. It's become very democratized. But the change I think that I would want to see is decentralization of the music industry. So right now the music industry is very much tied to Bollywood, and which is, and I'm not saying it in a bad way. It's always been tied to Bollywood, which is fine because that's how we write our films. The lead character, the lead actor is singing a song. So yahan pe, you know, people identify songs by the actor's name, like Shah Rukh Khan ka gaana or Dev Anand ka gaana, even though they haven't sung the song. But that's how, you know, that's how the culture has evolved. But I would like to see a more robust, you know, indie music scene.
Yeah.
So that needs a lot of support.
Yeah.
And that means more venues for indie music artists to perform, and more touring opportunities, more festivals.
Yeah, the infrastructure, like
the infrastructure does not exist, like for the indie music. Although I wouldn't say it doesn't exist, but it's changing. But a lot needs to be done, and serious thought needs to be put into that. Right now, as I said, it's very centralized. It's like a movie happens, movie is attached to label will ask, ask for producers, and you can do that, which is fine. That's great. If you want to do Bollywood music, definitely go for it. Go to Bombay, do that thing.
Some of the finest in the industry that you've worked with. tell me quickly. Top five.
So I've been very fortunate to work with some really good people. I think AR would definitely be on the top of the list. AR is a great composer, great person. Just to be in a room with him and observe him. So I did like a 1 month internship sort of thing when he was in Boston. And they were looking for an extra sort of assistant, you know, just to assist him on a few projects. So there was a Tamil movie that I assisted on, and a series on Amazon Prime called Harmony. So we worked on that. And of course, Rehman sir is a genius. He comes into the room, everyone goes silent. And honestly, he's very, he knows what he wants to do. He's like very, you know, on top of the game. And he's very fast with music software.
Yeah, okay.
So he'll sit on the computer like for hours and hours and just do his thing. And all of his assistants are just, you know, looking at him. So that 1 month was a great learning experience. But yeah, I got to play two shows with him also after that. One was in Vegas, one in New York at the UN. Rehman Saab would be number one. I think the Beck concert was another great collaboration. Then through the AR concert, I also got to play with Shivamani, who's a great Indian drummer, Ranjit Barot, Prasanna. Coming back to our conversation on the diaspora, Prasanna is a guitarist from Chennai, but now lives in New York, but he plays Carnatic music on the guitar. And he's a phenomenal guitarist. Like, yeah, you should, you know, check him out. So talking about Prasanna Vijay Iyer, he's another pianist. Vijay Iyer also teaches at Harvard. These people are from India, and, you know, these guys are the best in their industries, you know. In their industries and in their genres.
Yeah.
Like, Vijay Iyer is a cat. Like, he's a jazz cat. Like, he's one of the best jazz performers out there.
You have done so much work that our podcast does not have enough time, so we will have part two for you. But now there's a last segment, which is, how do you wish to inspire those trying to step out of their comfort zone and go beyond the border?
I think advice I would give is, so through YouTube, it's become very easy to learn any skill or craft. But a lot of people always ask, like, should I go to music college or should I do that? I think if you can, even if you don't go to music college, find your community, like in whatever city you are, wherever you are, at least in my experience, people are the most important asset that you can have. So find like-minded people that you can network with, connect with other artists, other musicians, jam out, collaborate, write emails, like pester people with, you know, emails and messages saying that you want to make a song with them, you want to collaborate with them. That's how this works. You may be, I'm going to sound like a 90-year-old man saying this.
Aren't
but
you?
getting there. I'm going to sound old saying this, but it's one thing to be very talented in your field, but it's another thing to be successful in that field. You can be talented and nobody knows about you because you've just been cooped up in your room and, you know, making beats. But it's another thing to be successful. And that success only, I think, comes with networking.
Thank you so much for coming on our podcast. Finally, being your chuddy buddy helped. And we're very grateful that you've achieved so much. And you've been beyond a border. And I hope someone's inspired by you and they go beyond the border.
100%. Thanks. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here. And I hope you call more and more guests. And I think you have a lot of success doing this. Yeah. Guys, please watch her podcast. Watch all the guests. You know, she has some very interesting people coming.
Thank you so much for staying until the end. To help us continue these conversations, please subscribe on YouTube and like and follow on Instagram and Spotify.